there. So I want to thank everyone here as we open the word together in just a moment. I want to thank you all. Thank you for the kind words and the encouragement, and most importantly, your prayers. You're wonderful folks, and I appreciate you greatly. I count it a privilege to be able to stand before you like this each week. And once again, I thank you for your prayers. I pray you'll keep praying. The Lord has been good to us. And everyone said, amen. All right, so this morning we're going to continue the Ask the Pastor series, and I'm going to talk to you about two things today, Lord willing. The first one is discipleship, and the second one is hell. Okay? They're not necessarily connected, but we're just trying to pull them together today. So, Matthew chapter 28, we're going to hop around here. It's not like what we've been doing the past several weeks where we go from one place to the, you know, stay in one place. We're going to look at this very famous passage, which we probably all know. Maybe some of us memorized it in some Sunday school or EBS place a long time ago. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Interesting. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So a familiar passage. We refer to it as the Great Commission. I want to talk to you about the dearth of discipleship. Now, briefly, I want to go down through this. Firstly, it says, Jesus says, I'm the authority. I have all authority here in heaven and earth. He commands us to make disciples. He tells us to baptize them. He tells us to teach them. And then he reiterates his presence, saying, I'm with you always, and that that communicates back to that first statement where he says, I have all authority here in heaven and earth. It's all been put into my hands. So we have in this little abbreviated passage, and you can tell it's abbreviated by, you know, what we read there. There's more that went on than this statement, so it's kind of capsulized. But here in this capsulized statement, we have what has been called the Great Commission. It is the commission. It is the charge. It is the command from the Lord for his church. Not for a church. Not for an ecclesiastical organization or a 501c3 corporation. But for his church. His people are his church. So when he says this, and we read it, and when we read other things, especially as we get into the New Testament and get into the epistles, and we read the word church, we have been trained to think about an organization, about First Church on the Hill or whatever. That's not, in most instances, 99% of the time, he's not talking about any particular organization. He's talking about his body, every believer across the face of the earth. So he gives to his church this command and says, make disciples. Many modern churches have replaced discipleship with evangelism and believe discipleship is a class or a series of questions and answers that we kind of put on in a structured form. Being a disciple means that you are a follower of Jesus and that you are striving to obey him and this book. So I'm going to live according to what I know about Jesus from this book. And of course, we have some of that in the Gospels. We have some more explanation of it in the epistles and the Old Testament on through to the book of the Revelation. Show us things about Jesus. Part of being a disciple is influencing others for him. That's part of being a disciple. Leading them to him through what we refer to as evangelism. We'll talk about that in a second. And teaching them to obey as you do. You cannot be a disciple if you are ignoring Matthew 28. We have entire church systems and structures that are based upon the fact that your main job, the believer's main job, is to bring people to a meeting so a preacher can preach to them. That's not a New Testament principle. Now, we can't get into all of the ramifications of what a church gathering was like, so I'll just throw this out there and kind of let you chew on it. Discipleship might start, maybe should start, when you meet any unbeliever. You, at that point, may have influence on them for the Lord, teaching by word or by deed. You say, well, discipleship can't start unless they're a believer. That is a modern church construct. I suggest to you that the Apostle Paul was being discipled by Stephen when he held the cloaks of those who stoned him and saw Stephen see the Lord and cry out to the Lord and give his life as a martyr. I suggest to you that in unrecorded instances where the Apostle Paul arrested people and had them cast into jail or prison, as he himself talked about it, and was persecuting Christians, that every one of those instances was in some way some little kernel of discipleship from those people that the Lord eventually used in his life. And if you read the account of Paul's conversion, and then later read Paul's account of his own conversion, where it's kind of autobiography, he doesn't fight God. He says, "Who are you, Lord? And what am I to do?" There's instant surrender when he encounters the Lord. So we have in the modern church, because we like to structure things and have classes. I can't tell you folks how many times I've gone to conferences and seminars, and the newest discipleship program would be introduced and it would have some catchy name. Okay? It's not new. You don't need a catchy name. You just need to live before the Lord in brokenness and integrity. And live before your neighbors as you live before the Lord. And that is how people are won to the Lord, by your word and deed. And that's how people are discipled or grow in the Lord. Now, evangelism comes from the word for gospel. So the Greek word for gospel or good news, and it's a transliteration of that Greek word. So to evangelize is to share good news. And we have people out here, they call themselves evangelical. It's the same root. It's to emphasize that good news. Modern evangelicalism has emphasized evangelism over discipleship. And that is why in many churches they have stopped teaching about the holiness of God or the authority of God's word or hell and the justice and just wrath of God or repentance or cross-bearing, and the list goes on. Frequently today we get a half-baked message about the love of God, and it's preached where people are told to some degree what they want to hear in order to endear them to Jesus in the church, with the hope that his claim upon their lives will be gradually accepted. And then usually, and too often, most times, those claims are forgotten and never mentioned. Now, this has been a burden on my heart for years and years, because without talking about the cost of discipleship, we cannot have real repentance. And if there's no real repentance, there is no real good news, and there is ultimately no discipleship. Back in the first half of the 20th century, when the church in England was basically coming apart, it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said that the problem was that the evangelicals were too focused on evangelism. So stop and think about it. Most of our, quote, close quote, evangelical churches use their Sunday morning gathering as a time to win souls. You'll not find that any place in the New Testament.